I want to take as a text this evening the fourth chapter of Hebrews and the verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 7 says this: "Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time, as it is said, Today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And it's those words in the second part of the verse that I want to bring before you. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. One thing that has struck me in these times, since the days when this coronavirus began to be spoken about and the awful details of its spread and its effects were being made known in the media, the thought that came to me was, God is speaking. There are some that I've mentioned that to, and they have reacted with consternation and anger. They didn't want to hear that. What sort of a God would be speaking to men in circumstances like this, using something like this to get the attention of men? But this is not without precedent. This is something that has happened in biblical history and indeed throughout human history. God has spoken through events that are beyond human control. The verse before us, Hebrews 4:7, is part of a quotation which the apostle makes from Psalm 95. That psalm was in the form of a warning from God to Israel of old, not to despise his long-suffering mercy, nor to presume upon his grace. Their forefathers stood out clearly as a beacon light to all who would be tempted to reject God's word. Remember that Paul is writing here to the Hebrews, to the Jews. And so he speaks to them about what happened to their forefathers and the effects, the consequences of rejecting the word of the Lord. He states here that they perished in unbelief, and thus they were excluded from entering the promised land of Canaan. And yet Scripture teaches us that Israel failed to heed this great warning. Just like their fathers in the wilderness, many of these who read what Paul was saying despised God's mercy, and they also perished in unbelief. There are people, and God has given them over to a reprobate mind, which is really a mind that is void of judgment. And so, they are rejected. And friends, all of this is very solemn. I do believe that God still speaks. I am not a deist. I don't believe that God, like someone who made a clock and wound it up and just set it on a shelf to manage itself from there on, did that with the world and with creation. He did not. God is involved in human affairs. There's no doubt about it. He even sends the rain upon the head of the just and the unjust. He makes his sun to shine upon the righteous and upon the wicked. God has not run away and left this world to its own devices. God is in control. God is sovereign. God is upon his throne. And again, that's a subject all of its own that I could spend a lot of time speaking about tonight. But one thing we know about God is that he speaks to people. He speaks and he warns men and women still of the consequences of unbelief. He still says, even today in 2020, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I want you to notice with me in this text some things. there is, first of all, here a special communication. And that special communication is his voice. Whose voice? Well, chapter 3, verse 7 records, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." It's the voice of the Spirit of God. It's the voice of God, the Holy Ghost. That's what is before us here. It is a special communication. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God has a voice. He speaks. And it is a special communication because it is, therefore, the voice of the living God. God has spoken and God still speaks. How does he do that? The Holy Ghost speaks through his writings, the scriptures. You'll notice that biblical inspiration is taught here in this text. It mentions that the Lord said what he said in David. Who was David? He was the psalmist. This is a quotation from the Old Testament scriptures, as we've already indicated in Psalm 95. But notice carefully that the words of David are called the words of the Spirit of God. And David himself recognized that when he said, on certain occasions, "The Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." So this is what David wrote, but it's called the saying of the Holy Ghost. Now the Psalms of David are the very words of God. They are what the Holy Ghost said. The Word of God tells us through another apostle, Peter, in 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Yes, God employed human authors, no doubt about it. But it was the words of God that they wrote. And all of the scriptures are the words of the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That word there, inspiration, suggests that the word has been breathed out by God. The scriptures are his breathed out words. And that refers to all the scriptures. But as if to give greater weight and emphasis to the subject, Paul refers to what the Holy Ghost saith. Don't forget, the Bible is the Word of God. Every page that you read is what he has written. It is imperative then that you and I pay attention to what it says when we read it or hear it preached. 2 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 19. Tells us that we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So give attention to what the Bible says. It is his word. Not only does the Spirit of God speak through his writings, the scriptures, but he speaks through his witness in hearts. He speaks through witnessing in hearts. You see, there's such a thing as the conviction of sin. And we pray for that as the Word of God goes forth. The Holy Spirit smites hearts with a sense of sinfulness when they do wrong. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, in chapter 22 and in verse 34, it says this, "And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned." Now, I hasten to add that Balaam was not saved. Balaam was not a believer, but the Spirit of God convicted his heart so that he was compelled to say, "I have sinned." And God's Spirit may well have awakened you, maybe in the past, to a sense of sin, but you are not yet saved. you're still not a believer. God has spoken to you, but you have not listened. I say to you tonight, God having spoken to you, do not reject His voice. The Spirit speaks through His witnessings and hearts. The Spirit then speaks through many warnings in circumstances. And that brings before me our present circumstances. Sometimes people, as the old Puritan said, are placed on their backs that they might learn to look up to Him. That's what God often does. Some people are involved in serious accidents. Some people have terrible illnesses. Sometimes people are spoken to through bereavements and other negative happenings in their lives. And perhaps on that bed of sickness or through the death of a loved one, the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And He is still speaking today. I wonder what people think when they start seeing, as they have seen in Italy and in Spain and soon, sadly I fear, in the UK and in America and other places, the body bags piling up. The coffins, the caskets being filled with bodies. And people being taken away without even so much as a goodbye from family members or a funeral to attend. These are serious things. This is unprecedented in my lifetime and probably in yours. And I want to tell you, God is speaking. And we need to hear what He is saying in life's circumstances. These are warnings in the circumstances of life. And then, of course, the Lord speaks to the hearts of men through His workings in the lives of others. God speaks, I say, through His workings in other lives. And maybe I'm speaking to some in this broadcast and you have seen what has happened in other people's lives as a result of the gospel influence upon them. Some who lived a particular type of life, no time for God, no time for His house, no interest in the Bible or the things of Christ. And then there's been a radical transformation in them, and you've seen that. And perhaps you've wondered, what is this? How did this happen? Did they turn over a new leaf? Did they see the light? Did they have an epiphany? What was this? A lot of people seeing what has happened in other people's lives, you know what they'll say? Oh, so-and-so, he found God. But the reality is that though he may have found God, it's because God found him. God has worked in the lives and in the hearts of others. And you've seen that. And perhaps to some degree it has spoken to you. Maybe I'm talking to someone and you've had a friend or a relative who has had a radical transformation in his or her life. They've come to Christ. You've seen that change wrought in them. And God has actually spoken to your heart in conviction as a result of that. God has a voice. And the voice of the Spirit of God has spoken. And that voice is still graciously speaking to sinful men. You may have heard it said, this is the day of grace. That's a good statement. That's exactly what it is. It's the day of grace. In other words, judgment has not yet come. You are still in the land of the living. I am still alive. We still have the privileges of the means of grace, the Word of God, the fellowship of God's people, the house of God, the presence of God with us. You're still in the land of the living. You're in the day of grace. You're still hearing the gospel. You're hearing it now. God has spoken. God is still speaking. And as it were, the door is standing open for you now. The door of opportunity. The door of grace. The door of salvation. That door, of course, is Christ. Jesus said, not the church is the door, not the sacraments are the door, not good works are the door, not baptism, not communion, not being good to your neighbor, not being a better fellow than the one down the street, not doing your best. No. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ is the way. He's the truth. And he is the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. And so, as you hear me speaking tonight, remember this. It's not just the voice of a preacher that I'm listening to. It's not that it's important because Stephen Hamilton says so. Not at all. Far from it. If what I'm stating is only my opinion, then you can disregard it. You can forget all about it. Because as someone said, opinions are like noses. Everyone has one. But as I know what the scripture says, what I'm saying tonight is not just the voice of a preacher. This is the voice of the Spirit. This is the voice of God Almighty. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Today, if you will hear His voice. So we have here brought before us a special communication. There's also, however, a specific command. And what is that command? Well, it's a clear injunction to hear His voice and harden not your hearts. Two things there. Hear His voice. Harden not your hearts. God demands that men obey His word. Now, obviously, there are many who don't care about God's word. And many who have never really heard God's voice as they ought to hear it. Back there in the parables of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 13, there's something that is really important for us to note. Matthew 13, first of all in verse 9 and then in verse 13, here's what it says. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, listen to what's being said. The one that has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. But then verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, and parables are stories. They are heavenly stories. They are earthly stories, rather, with a heavenly meaning. I speak to them in parables because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. You know what that's like? When someone is looking at something, but they're not really looking at it, their minds are a million miles away. Someone is listening to what somebody else is saying, but they're actually not listening, they don't really hear. Seeing they see, hearing they hear, but they don't really see, they don't really hear, and as the Lord said, neither do they understand. And that's the way it is with many. There are some, and actually they only do hear the voice of the minister. They don't hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, they hear sermons, but they're never moved to obedience. One such was a man by the name of Herod. Now, Herod was a wicked man, but he had a habit of listening to sermons. Really strange. There was a man, you see, called John the Baptist, a man with a message from God, and Herod, for some strange reason, liked the preaching of John. And so we read in Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, for Herod feared John. It really means that he observed him, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, that is the preaching of John, he did many things, so he responded in some degree to John's preaching, and heard him gladly. Remarkable. A wicked king, an evil man, but he heard the sermons of John the Baptist, and he heard with some gladness. He kind of enjoyed listening to what was preached. But the sad thing, as the subsequent account reveals in Mark 6, he heard, but he did not really hear, because he didn't heed the word of the Lord. And aren't we told by the Apostle James in James chapter 1 from verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." That means a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway," immediately, "forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed," or in his doing. The hearing without the obedience is futile. And one of the saddest things that we read in Scripture is that which came from the mouth of the Savior in Matthew chapter 7. Listen to this. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a wise man," and doeth them rather, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So here's one who hears and who does what Christ says. But then verse 26 records, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." It's very clear, very straightforward. There's the wise man, there's the foolish man. Who's the wise man? Well, he is the one who hears the word of Christ and he does, he practices, he obeys. The other is a foolish man because he hears and he doesn't obey. And Paul here in Hebrews chapter 4 spoke about some who heard the word of God, but it was of no benefit to them. Look at this, Hebrews 4 verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." In other words, the preaching of the word that they heard didn't do them any good. It did them no good. Tell me this, are you going to be one of those who hears the word of God, maybe one who sits for years under faithful preaching, and it's going to be of no benefit, it's going to be of no use to your soul because you have not believed? God says, hear his voice. Oh, may God give to men and women today the hearing ear. The command is not only to hear, however, but also harden not your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. It is possible, you know, to harden your heart even more than it has been hardened by nature. We learn that from the Old Testament example of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. In the book of Exodus and chapter number 8, Pharaoh was spoken to by the Lord through Moses. And in Exodus chapter 8, verse 19, it tells us, "Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." The idea there is that Pharaoh hardened his own heart against the Lord. Then we go down to verse 32 of Exodus chapter 8. And there it says, "And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." I've been thinking about this during the coronavirus. The coronavirus is really a plague. And God sent 10 different plagues to Egypt. You can read about them in the book of Exodus. There were times when, having sent the plague, Pharaoh would relent a bit and say, "Well, I've sinned and I'm going to do what God says this time." And then he would go back to his old ways after the plague was lifted. And he did that on successive occasions. And I think to myself, in this present crisis, are there going to be people like that during this COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic? Are there people who are going to relent? Perhaps under pressure, they'll think, "Well, you know, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to put away my sinful ways and I'm going to obey God." And then when it's all over, they'll just go back to their old ways. I fear that it will be so. Hardness of heart. And the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Oh, that your heart would be soft and not hard at a time like this. But notice as well that the Spirit of God has brought before us this thought, this specific command, harden not your hearts. Because the heart can be hardened through sinful pleasures. The Word of God in Hebrews chapter 3, just before our text, actually refers to this. Hebrews 3 verse 13. "But exhort one another daily," that means encourage one another, "while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You see, sin persisted in, continued in, has a way of hardening the heart. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You can become sin-hardened and you can become gospel-hardened. There are people, and it seems like the gospel will never penetrate their hard spiritual hide because they've rejected for so long, it's become a way of life to them. The heart can be hardened not only through sinful pleasures, but the heart can be hardened through stubborn procrastination. Stubborn procrastination. Rejecting Christ hardens the heart. You could say that every time you make light of the gospel offer, it's as though you're forging another link in the chain that binds you to your sins. And how many there are who are gospel hardened. They're so familiar with the message that it becomes no longer of any great effect. And I would urge you not to let your heart become hardened in that way. Hear God's word. Harden not your heart. But there's a third thing here, and it's a solemn consideration. Verse 7 records, "Again he limiteth a certain day." There is a limit set by God. There is a length of time which he is prepared to wait for sinners to repent. We learn this many places in Scripture. Do you know that Noah, when he was building the ark, preached righteousness for 120 years? And the Bible says in the book of Peter that the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. God is long suffering. God is patient. We think of that in relation to Nineveh. God didn't say, "Well, I'm just going to destroy Nineveh. I'm going to burn them to a crisp just immediately." No. Jonah preached, "Yet 40 days. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And thankfully, in the mercy of God, they repented during that time of preaching. God is merciful. But God has also set a time. He has limited a day when his day of grace for you will come to an end. Could it be at this time? That is a solemn thought. And it is really the message of this text. The message of the text is that there is grace today. There may be none tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when the Holy Spirit still speaks. But we learn, do we not, in Scripture, that God will not always speak to sinners? Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, just prior to the flood, God said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Today, if you will hear His voice. Now let me point out the sense of that statement. If you will hear His voice. That is to say, if you are permitted and privileged to hear His voice. That's what it means. If God allows you to hear His voice. The day will come, you see, when He ceases to speak. And that's why the Scripture records He limiteth a day. There's a limit. We know that this often happens in our families when children are misbehaving. You've reached your limit. I'm not going to put up with that behavior anymore. We've all been familiar with that in our lifetime. There's a limit even to a parent's patience. There's a limit to God's patience. Maybe you're near the limit tonight. I'm not being melodramatic. I'm not trying to be clever. I'm merely telling you what God says in His Word. Maybe you're at the limit tonight. Time is running out. Grace is almost at an end. Come while God is yet speaking to you. God will not always speak to sinners. Something else we learn, God will not always suffer with sin. We mentioned the long suffering of God that waited in the days of Noah. That long suffering was, of course, succeeded by judgment. The flood came and took them all away. That's what Jesus said. Only 8 were saved. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. 8 were saved. The world perished. You see, God waits, but not forever. And there is a fearful text that's found in the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Here's what it says. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Let me mention that again. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." The Scripture speaks of men's sins as though they were in a cup that's filling up. And when that cup is full, then the judgment of the Lord comes. That's when it falls. We see that, for example, taught in that New Testament scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." Really what that means is their cup of sin was filling up. Remember how long God has suffered your disobedience, and yet now, after so long a time, He's still pleading with your soul, but a limit has been set. Not everybody's going to heaven, men and women. That's the sad reality. Universalism is a false doctrine. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. There are the saved and the lost. There are the believers and the unbelievers. There's glory and there's perdition. Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said from verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And he goes on to speak of eternal life, and on the other hand, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. The solemn consideration this evening is that your only sure remaining day of grace is today. I have read that there's a place up in Canada called the Great Divide. And it is said that every drop of rain that falls on the Great Divide, when it hits that one spot, its destiny is fixed from that time on. It either goes in the direction of the Atlantic and flows in that way, or it goes down the other way and flows out to the Pacific. The Great Divide. It is a place, if you like, where the destiny of that drop of water is fixed. And it's like that in the Gospel. Someone wrote a hymn about that. There is a time, we know not when, a place, we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. And I say that tonight with tears welling up in my eyes. How solemn is our text. It's God's word to you, friend, today. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord in the Gospel. There's a hymn that Spurgeon used to love to quote all the time. Grace, which is of course the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever. From the Savior's wounded side. None need perish. None need perish. All may live, for Christ has died. This is what we call the free offer of the Gospel. There is a Savior from all sin who is ready, able, and willing to save those who come by faith to Him. Don't miss it, friend. Don't miss it. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Today, as the Holy Ghost saith, harden not your hearts.